Find two passages of Scripture, if you would, please. Find very simply Genesis chapter 15. Put something in Genesis chapter 15. And come, if you would, please, to the fourth chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 4. Genesis chapter number 15. Last week, from the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, I introduced to you our series that we are going to spend some time in on Wednesday nights, a series that I have simply entitled, He's Able. As I was reading and studying the Word of God and preparing for what the Lord would have to preach on Wednesday nights, finishing the book of Deuteronomy, I was confronted to the fact that very early on and throughout the Scripture, and even during our lives, whether it be by signs or notes or verses, very early on in God's relationship with His people, God would had to remind His people that nothing would ever be too hard for the Lord. He did that in the book of Genesis. He did that in the book of Numbers. He did that in the book of Jeremiah. He did that in the book of Matthew. He did that in the book of Luke. I think you could find it once again in the book of Revelation. And you will just find that it seems like there are moments and times where God is continually reminding His people that there is nothing too hard for Him to do. Nothing in our life that would be considered impossible for God to attain. We run into our human impossibility all the time. But what a joy it is to know the God that we love and the God that we serve and the God of the Bible, the true and living God, that there is nothing too hard for God. I found as I was relating to the church and even relating to my own heart and to my own mind that being reminded of this great truth throughout the summer would help reinforce us, help put our feet on solid ground and on solid rock. And so I introduced the subject, the series last week with Abraham. And I thought I would continue by preaching the first message in the series from the life of Abraham, from the fourth chapter of the book of Romans. And I want to preach to you tonight a message entitled, He is Able to Keep His Promise. He is able to keep His promise. You could say His promises. I take the title from Romans chapter 4, verse number 21. The Bible says about Abraham, and being fully persuaded, fully convinced, that what he, God, had promised, he was, would you say the word, able to perform. Our text verse finds its context within one of the great doctrinal chapters on the subject of salvation. Romans chapter 4 is the Apostle Paul defending the great statement of chapter number 3, verse number 28, where it says, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And the Apostle Paul, making that statement about justification and about salvation being by faith and by faith alone, follows on that in defense a wonderful illustration from the life of Abraham. And this great chapter on salvation by faith alone uses Abraham as an illustration of strong faith, and it uses him as an illustration of understanding that what God had promised, God is able to perform. If you remember, God made a promise to Abraham. You could read about that promise in the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. He begins with that promise to Abraham that God would make of him a great nation, that Abram would be the father of a great nation, that his seed would multiply as the sand of the seashore. He also followed on that promise that not only would he be the father of a great people, but through the seed of Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. We know that this promise was made to Abraham as he was coming out of the land of Ur. We know that this was God's moving in the life of Abraham, and God made him this promise. Romans chapter 4 is enunciating to you and demonstrating to you and declaring to you how this promise was realized in Abraham's life. And this promise was realized in Abraham's life through faith. And we find that in Romans chapter 4, you will find where it talks about that Abraham believed God, and therefore the promise was put upon him. We know that to be, if you look at verse number 1 of chapter 4, what shall we say then that Abram our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham, say those two words, believe God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so God made a promise to Abraham, a promise of life. That promise was realized by and only through faith. God has made a promise of eternal life to you and to me. And that promise will only be realized by faith. It's interesting to me that God's people can exercise strong faith when it comes to salvation or to eternal life, but it seems like we live in weak faith in the everyday life. I can trust God wholly, strong faith when it comes to eternal life, but most of God's people sometimes battle and have a tremendous obstacle with strong faith when it comes to everyday life. And Abraham is a beautiful example of faith in the fact that what God has promised, he's able to perform. And I submit to you that the same God that kept his promise to Abraham is the same God that we love. Amen. And I don't want you to live with weak faith. The Bible describes faith in some certain ways. Write these five thoughts down. These are not the message. I'll give you the message in just a moment. The Bible describes faith in an individual in five ways. Two of these ways deal with an unsaved man. Pastor, can an unsaved man have faith? Sadly, to some degree, you find unsaved people exercising stronger faith sometimes than even God's people exercise. An unsaved man absolutely can exercise faith. There's two types of faith that an unsaved man can exercise. He can exercise something called vain faith, and he can exercise something called dead faith. Vain faith leads to dead faith. Vain faith would be a belief in a wrong doctrine. Dead faith would be a belief in a wrong person. Faith, that is, in any other doctrine other than in the doctrine of the Word of God, is a vain faith. Faith, that is, living faith, can only be living faith if the object is living and there is only one living Lord Jesus Christ, right? So an unsaved man can exercise vain and dead faith. Paul teaches us that in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. James would teach you that in chapter number 2. Saved people usually exercise faith as it is described in one of three ways: little faith, weak faith, or strong faith. Pastor, what is little faith? Little faith would be faith that has been mixed with unbelief. Can a believer exercise unbelief all the time? All the time. Recognizing my difficulty with unbelief is one of the ways that you grow in the Lord. Little faith, as described in the book of Mark, would be the believer having some faith, but it being mixed with unbelief, not fully persuaded as Abraham was. Weak faith, don't miss this. Weak faith is a faith that is malnourished. This is a faith that lacks the nutrients or the nourishment of the Word of God as food for the faith. A weak faith is a lack of food or a lack of God's Word. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if I'm exercising weak faith, I'm exercising a faith that is malnourished, it's undernourished, it's weak. It does not have with it the rich nutrients of the Word of God. The last faith that I will identify to you is something called strong faith. Matter of fact, when you come to verse number 20, you will find that this is one of the descriptions of Abraham. It says there that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That would have been of little faith, but was strong in faith. What is strong faith? Strong faith is a faith that is rooted in the Word of God, grounded in the truth of God. This is a faith that is well nourished, healthy. This is a faith that is living and vibrant. So you have a vain and a dead faith that an unsaved man can exercise. And then you have little faith, weak faith, and strong faith that a believer can exercise. And truthfully, tonight, I want to trace Abraham's journey to strong faith. Now, there was a time when Abraham was living with little faith and weak faith. When it came to the promises of God, God had promised Abraham that he would have a child, and Abraham and Sarah had waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. And instead of waiting in strong faith, they began to mix that faith with unbelief. That faith began to wane into little faith. Then what little faith they had waned into weak faith, a malnourished faith. And then they took matters into their own hands, and we got Ishmael. And I submit to you that Ishmael's still a problem today, right? So here, Paul is recording Abraham's second chance, basically. And Paul is recording how the promise of life was facilitated and revealed and realized through faith. And so I want to approach this from the end game, the finish line, and come back. And so if you look at verse number 21, this is really and truthfully where Abraham ends up. He ends up in the position of being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. And when you leave here tonight, I want you to be strong in faith, believing that God keeps his promises in our lives. First thing I want to set before you, Abraham would have never been fully persuaded in his mind if his faith had the wrong object. Write that down. The faith's object. Come, if you would, please, to verse number 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him, whom he believed, even, say his name, God. The object of Abraham's strong faith is God. You will never have strong faith if God is not the object of your faith. Biblical faith always rests upon a divine person, God Himself. It is God who elicits and verifies and guarantees faith. God is the object of our faith. He must be. When God is the object of your faith, then all that alone removes all difficulty from the thought of faith or the fear of faith. I'll say that again. When God is the object of your faith, that truth alone removes all the difficulty from you walking by faith. It goes something like this. Pastor, I just have the most difficult time believing. I would respond to that by saying, you might say it's so difficult to believe. I would say, to believe whom? Whom? Pastor, I just can't believe this situation. Why would you believe the situation? Pastor, I just can't believe these people. Oh boy. You want to talk about difficulty, start believing in people. Pastor, I just can't even believe myself. Right, right. So when somebody comes to me and they say, Pastor, that's just so hard to believe, or I'm struggling to believe, or I cannot believe, I know that the object of your faith is not God. It's either the act of faith, the circumstance, the situation, people, or yourself. Faith is real. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. It's concrete. It's definite. It's not theoretical or abstract. The emphasis must always be placed upon the object. Let me give you an example of this. Go to Genesis 15. You got your hand here, right? You put something there. Go there. Let me show you how Abraham demonstrated this. Look, if you would, at verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? The steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he, God, brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Verse number 6 says, And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for what, class? Righteousness. So God gives Abraham a promise, and then God brings Abraham out when Abraham's questioning this promise. And God says, Abraham, look up there. You see all them stars? I put all those stars up there, Abraham. Abraham, I've done that. I can do great things to you. Abraham, your seed is going to be just like the stars of that heaven. And Abraham was able to look past the promise and look to the person of God. And the Bible says that Abraham believed God. My friends, you will never know strong faith in your life if God Himself is not the object of your faith. I just can't believe it's going to work out. Then whom are you believing is going to work it out? As you come back to Romans chapter 4 and you look at verse number 17, he goes on to talk about the power, the divine power of God. He says, In whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Abraham's faith is thus seen to be trust in the divine omnipotence.
which makes the dead alive and calls non-existent things as though they were existent. Do you believe God can do anything?
Then to not transition that into an opportunity where you trust the Lord is for the believer to live with little or weak faith. Because I promise you, God never has a bad day. God never runs into something that he can't control. God never has a moment where he's without divine omnipotence. Abraham looked at God and saw nothing but who he is and saw his ability, and it began to work in him as the object of his faith. Now, you're always going to have an obstacle to your faith. That would be point number two, and that would be the very next verse. Look, if you would, at verse number 18. The obstacle, who against what? Hope believed in what? Hope. There's a war here. There's an obstacle here. That he might become the father of many nations. The obstacle of Abram's faith that he had to battle was this obstacle of hopelessness. Everything seemed to be against Abraham as far as nature was concerned. So here's what the Bible says. Against hope, Abraham believed in hope. This is always the battle of the believer. Hopeless, yet hopeful. Hopeless, hopeful. Battling hopelessness with hopefulness. Nature says, your body's dead and her womb is dead. God says, I'm going to touch that womb. It was against hope, and yet Abraham is believing in hope. That's evidence of God's working in his life. And there is this battle. And you and I fight this battle all the time. Situation seems hopeless. Circumstances seem hopeless. It's a battle in my mind. Pastor, this is never going to work out. Hopelessness. Yet, by faith, I can war against that in hope. Pastor, how do I ever overcome the obstacle of hopelessness? Because I start out of the gate strong and then I run into hopelessness. Or it seems like I go from one thing to the other, but hopelessness tries to follow me. And I never know that strong hopefulness. I'm never able to get over that obstacle. And therefore, I never see my faith as far as rewarded in obtaining what God has for me. Great. You want to know how to overcome hopelessness? He teaches you in this verse. Come, if you would, to verse number 18. In verse number 18, when he talks about against hope, believing in hope, Abraham, on the strength of hope, believes even against hope. It doesn't make sense, but yet he's believing. You're never going to overcome this obstacle unless verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was, say that word class, spoken. What was spoken? Finish the verse. So shall thy seed be. Okay? Please get this battle. Against hope. He is in hope believing. Now go back to Ishmael. When the first time that Abraham ran into hopelessness, that which would be against even nature, Sarah's womb is dead. It is not opening. This is not happening. God had promised that he would give him a seed from his own bowels, right? Do you remember what Abram did? It was Abram that went to God and said, let Ishmael live before you. Abraham is substituting
his word for God's word. Abraham is trying to find footing in this hopeless situation. And so where does he find footing? He finds footing in his own understanding. He finds footing in his own plan. And they go forward in that plan. And we know what a disastrous plan that was. Here, Abraham says, you want to be able to hope against hopelessness, and if you want to fight against hope with hopefulness, you're only going to be able to fight that and overcome that by the word of God. If you understand that, say amen. So shall thy seed be. All through the Bible, the warrant of faith is found in what God says. Faith will always reason from God's word, never from self or circumstances. Okay, this Abraham's teaching you this. Abraham is saying, now, I had to learn what was the object of my faith. A great promise was made to me, but a great promise was made to me by the great God. The promise blew my physical ability and it blew my spiritual mind. I had to come to realization that there's nothing too hard for God. When I learn God as the object of my faith, then I didn't care about anything else. I knew that I was believing him. Obstacles came because I had to battle hopelessness, this against nature within our own bodies, but yet I had the promise of God. Well, Pastor, what do I do with the promise of God? How does he transition into overcoming this? I was hoping you would ask that. Keep reading if you would in verse number 19. In verse number 19, Abraham has said that he's not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now what? Dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. All right, so here's where Abraham is. Stay with me in the thought process. This is worth $1 billion. Make that payable. No, I'm just kidding. Abraham says, I had to learn the object of my faith is God. I knew I had an obstacle when it came to hopelessness versus hopefulness. This what God was promising me was against all hope. Yet I came to the position where it was God as the object. And he said, I had experienced previous weak faith. Listen to what commentator said about weak faith. I love this. Weak faith concentrates on the difficulties and always overlooks God. Weak faith concentrates on the difficulties and always overlooks God. Strong faith concentrates on God and overlooks the difficulties. Weak faith concentrates on the difficulties, overlooks God. Strong faith concentrates on God and overlooks the difficulties. Well, Pastor, how do you overlook being 100 years old? How do you overlook these circumstances? I mean, are you just telling me to turn a blind eye to the circumstances of my life? Are you just telling me to turn a blind eye to the difficulties that I come across? No. Listen to what Abraham did. Look what he did. In verse number 19, being not weak in faith, he, what's that word? Starts with a C. He considered. He thought about this. And what he did was, he noticed the difficulty, but he didn't hesitate according to the word of God. I want to say it this way. Abraham made a determined effort to get pregnant. God, I practiced this in my office. And it sounded so innocent. Please help me keep this innocent right now. Hey. Isaac was not an oopsie. Isaac wasn't Sarah forgetting to take her birth control. Isaac wasn't somehow too sexually active or protective people who had a mess up and all of a sudden there was conception. God did not come down in the middle of their active sex life and create Isaac. Sarah, by her own admonition, said, "Them days are gone." They're gone. Sarah said, when God told Abraham about this, Abraham laughs, Sarah laughs. Sarah says, "I'll never know pleasure." She was past that. There was no sexual activity in their relationship. Why do you tell us that, Pastor? Because I don't want you to think that somehow Abraham and Sarah were actively involved in this, and then just God kind of magically did his work. Abraham concentrated on God, overlooked the difficulties, and planned a date. I think Sarah came home, and Abram had the tent all swept. He had the dishes done. Does this sound familiar, ladies? And he had taken a bath. He had shaved. He had got some pretty stuff on. He had the table set. He had the candles going. He had her favorite meal. He began to wine and he began to dine. I think Sarah walked in there and said, "You're out of your mind, old man." But Abraham had allowed God to become the object of his faith. He had reckoned hopelessness. There was an obstacle there. But he let the word of God enable the overcoming of that obstacle. And I'll show you how this rampantly builds. And as the word of God is building faith in him, look if you would at verse number 20. He began to stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, unbelief is being shoved out and belief is filling this man. Strong in faith. He's beginning to give God glory here. When Abraham says, I began to thank God before it ever happened. I began to believe that it was going to happen before it ever happened. If I didn't believe God would have done it, I would have never set the table that night. And it got to the point where persuasion filled his mind. And Abram took his wife and took her into that tent and did what was needed to be done. And he did it in faith, believing that God was going to answer his word. He considered not his body hopeless. Question, was his body hopeless? But the word of God brought hope. Many times in your life, you're going to look at that hopeless situation and your mind is going to say, there is not a chance. It's beyond belief. But if God said it, God's able to perform it. And the mind of the Christian has got to consider the word of God against the hopelessness of that. I think that old man got surprised himself. Abraham did not question or discriminate. There was an entire absence of hesitation and indecision. He rested everything on God's promise because his object of his faith was God. He continued believing until he became strong in faith.
giving God glory. Faith will always find its nutriment in the Word of God. And it will only be strong as it feeds thereon. Watch the obtaining. Look, if you would, at verse number 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, or because of that, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now watch verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for, say that word, us. Now I know that in the immediate context of that, that is salvation by faith alone. But that's also evidence of the promise being realized by faith. Abraham obtained God's promise by strong faith. God rejoices when you and I come to him in strong faith. When we have overcome the obstacle of hopelessness, and he himself has become the object of our faith. Pastor, it's so difficult to believe that my kid's going to be saved. This Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yeah, but my kid is living a hell of a life. Right. You look at that in hopelessness, but you better let God's word bring hope to that situation. Pastor, there is no way that our marriage is going to survive this. Hopelessness. But God created marriage, and God said it would bless and can work. And you have the promise of God's word. You need to let God's word bring a hopefulness to your hopelessness. You have to lift up your eyes, Christian, off of your circumstances. That doesn't mean you ignore them. But strong faith concentrates on God and overlooks those. God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. When Abraham's case, he knew what it took. It was going to take that man in faith being with his wife. I'm sure his humanity said, this is going to be useless. But as he began to act and believe in strong faith, that old man got charged up. And that womb opened up. And Abraham said, when God is your object, you can overcome that obstacle of hopelessness. And you can realize the object. You will find what God promises he's able to perform. And if God can do that in Abraham's life, God can do that in our lives. So I have this question on my paper. Do you know God well enough to trust God? Do you know God well enough to trust God? Strong faith builds. There's a progression there. You're not going to run out of here and just claim yourself to be strong in faith when you've been weak in faith. There's got to be the nourishment. There's got to be the removal of unbelief. There's got to be this persuasion that happens. But if you'll let God's word do that work in you and you let God be the object of your faith, you will find that whatever God's plan for you is and whatever God has prepared and whatever God promises you, he's able to do. The last thing you want to do is conceive your Ishmael. That's the last thing you want to do. The last thing you want to do is come up with your own plan based off of the motivation of your hopelessness. You'll regret that. You'll regret that. Aren't you glad God gives second chances? Man, am I glad God gives second chances. Let's pray.